To donate it.
To donate it so that it can be made into a wig.
Yes.
So that somebody who maybe is going through a pretty tough time and maybe doesn't have their own hair can put it and could have your hair. I can't even think of better hair that you could ever have.
I'm still going to have some of this, and I'm going to grow it out again just for fun.
Because you can obviously make more, and you can make more in a hurry.
Yeah.
It took me about a year to grow this thing.
Okay, well, it looks like you've taken about a year to grow that, because, I mean, it's honestly well done. It has to be 12 inches in order to cut it. So how long do you think it is right now? Have you got almost 12 inches?
And
was holding up his hair. Yeah, it's tough to tell, but you're getting there. Now, are you going to shave it all off, or are you going to grow it to a point where you can just cut some off and still have some?
B.
You're going to option B. You're going to have some left. And then, yeah. All right. Well, Daniel, you're a remarkable guy. I'm sure you've heard that. You're a lot of fun to be around. And you wind up brightening some days at Children's. You and Erica must have a lot of fun. Can you tell me a little bit about Erica and what you guys get doing sometimes?
She is really good with kids, obviously. Loves her job. She helps me through some of the mental problems, such as going through my needles. And every time I see a needle, my amygdala overreacts. And I couldn't have made it this far without her.
Wow. I had no idea we were going to get this kind of in-depth explanation. Your amygdala overreacts. So is that what's happening to me? Because I don't like needles either. So if I'm looking and if all of a sudden my heart's starting to race a little bit and I'm getting really anxious and not wanting to have that needle, is that what's happening inside my own brain? So what do you do?
Erica helps me through my mental problems. I talk it out, I count, I breathe, and I usually have a distraction with me. If I don't, it's kind of tough.
Mm-hmm. These are great tips, because you're somebody who's pretty experienced at having needles. Chris, how often?
7 years.
Yeah, 7 years of this. And how old are you?
Seven.
Chris, let's go back to when Daniel was first being looked at and you were first going to Children's. You had to go in and you had to ask questions, knowing there was something that wasn't quite right. And you had to live through the fact that there weren't really answers. Can you take us back to what was happening?
Yeah, it was a very scary time. Daniel got
time, 7 years.
Daniel got really, he developed a fever when he was about 12 months old. And that fever actually lasted for 28 days. We were back and forth to different doctors and then the emergency room. And everyone just kind of assumed that he's a kid. Kids get sick. But there was definitely something else going on. So after a lot of different appointments, he finally got a rheumatologist at Children's Health Foundation or at Children's Hospital. And that team has just been amazing. It's still scary because we don't have all of the answers even now still. His disease has continued to develop. He has lung issues now as well. And there's a blood disorder that's attached, and both of those have some potentially life-threatening complications that can be associated with them. And so, it was a scary time, and there are moments where it's still a scary time. So,
yeah, Daniel, go ahead.
May I please say that some of the extensions could be fatal.
What's it like to know that?
It's just pretty scary. With this lung disease and coronavirus going around, I feel kind of uncomfortable at the hospital because there were viruses at the hospital. And some of them are actually contagious. So it's pretty scary. In some circumstances, it's pretty scary place, but I'm healthy, so.
Yeah, Daniel is.
I'm fine.
Daniel's doing very well right now, and the hospital has a lot of precautions in place, and having supports like Erica, his child life therapist, there and being a familiar face, even though everybody's all gowned and masked up, that really, really helps to have a team of familiar people there supporting us and supporting Daniel when he does have to be there.
No doubt. Are there additional precautions that you find yourself taking when you return home at all because of this pandemic, Chris?
Yeah, we are very isolated as everyone is right now, but we probably have taken all the precautions and some. Currently, Daniel and his sister are homeschooled, just so that we can be at home all the time with them and make sure that he remains safe because he does have a suppressed immune system as well as this lung complication. So,
have you been able to find out anything definitive about what is causing this, or is that still, because at one point you went through a rash of tests. I mean, doctors tested for everything they could think of, and those tests came back how? Did they come back with anything?
They came back negative.
Yeah.
All negative. So everything they tested you for, Daniel, couldn't find anything.
Nothing. Yeah.
And yet there is something.
Yeah, so he definitely has an autoinflammatory disorder. And so we've had full genetics testing and full genome testing our whole family. So he has a geneticist, and we are kind of working through those things still, but it is so rare that that they still don't really know what the cause of this autoinflammatory disease is.
Hmm. Well, you guys are being able to make use of Children's. Chris, what's it like to know that Children's is there almost in your backyard?
Yeah, we're very thankful because we live so close to one of the best facilities. And so just having that team close by and having, you know, even the Children's Health Foundation, like we call them our hospital family. Ollie and the nurses and the clinic team there.
Don't forget Erica.
And of course, Erica. And so we are very lucky to have them as a part of our journey and a part of our life.
Well, hey, it has been great being able to speak with you. Daniel, can't wait to see the hair in its next phase, because there may be another phase. I mean, if you're going to keep some, you're going to need some more length on there. And have you ever thought about being a rock star? What do you think? No, you sound like you could be a doctor right now. I mean, if you had to take your MCAT soon, I would believe it. I would think, yeah, this guy's ready.
And then Mike.
Yes.
I'm actually more into paleontology.
Paleontology. Fantastic. So
I know things like Titanoboa and.
You already know way more than the rest of us then. I've never heard of it. What is a Titanoboa? What's a Titanoboa? What is that?
It obviously is a Titanic boa.
So we're talking snake.
A huge, 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 huge snake. It could take down T-Rex if it wanted.
These things aren't around in the world anymore, are they?
They're extinct, or are they?
Wait a minute. Now you've got me a little frightened here. So you keep doing what you're doing. You go on the way to being Dr. Daniel one day, because that's coming. And if you ever track down a Titanoboa, call me after, okay? Wait a few days, then call me, okay?
All right. I'm going to try and probably make a huge sculpture of it.
Love it. I can't wait to see that too. Chris, Daniel, thank you for the time this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.